I forgot. Hey everyone, welcome to the first official episode of 2026 for News from the Queue, working title. We'll see if it sticks. I'm Paul from Destination Geek, and with me, I'm joined by
Eddie from Edutainment.
And so, you know, we did this podcast a few times last year. We got together on the mics, talked about Halloween Horror Nights, things like that. This year, this season, we're going to try to make it a more regular thing. We're going to talk about Halloween Horror Nights, obviously, up to and including the event. Busch Gardens, Hollow Scream News, Busch Gardens news in general. We have a lot of Revolting stuff to talk about. So this is just our first episode. Growing Pains, need your feedback. Definitely leave us comments down below. Let us know what you liked. Let us know what you want us to talk about. You know, and what would keep you coming back for more. You know, if you like the format, that kind of thing. But this one, we're just kind of winging it. You know, not like we haven't done this before, but if it kind of feels like we're starting over. But you know, it always does. But it'll be good. Yeah, so we
to that point, to the fans that actually have mentioned it, because there has been a couple fans that said, hey, you and Paul were doing this and we actually were kind of enjoying it. Is it gone? And I was like, no, it's not gone. We just haven't got back to it.
So, but we're back. We're back, baby. And we, and you know, what brought us back, you know, just like Jack the Clown and Dr. Oddfellow, we're back to, we're back for 2026. And what brought us back on the mics today was to talk about exactly that. So Halloween Horror Nights 26, this past weekend, actually had their very first announcement.
So here's what we officially know about Halloween Horror Nights 2026. Universal just dropped the first look, and this looks like it might be the biggest, most fan-friendly Halloween Horror Nights story we've ever gotten. We've got an announcement of two icons for the year, the overarching theme, and our first official house announcement. Here's the story in 20 seconds. Dr. Oddfellow, an occultist ringmaster, built a carnival powered by fear and dark zodiac magic. Then came Jack, a killer on the run who turned himself into a clown and joined this circus. Oddfellow tried to control him, Jack turned the whole thing into chaos, and Oddfellow killed him, sealed him inside a jack-in-the-box. But that didn't kill Jack, it transformed him. He came back, killed Oddfellow, took over the carnival, and turned it into pure carnage. And Oddfellow didn't stay dead either. So now you've got chaos versus control, both tied to the same power. And that is exactly where this year's new haunted house begins. You start inside the box and enter the Oddverse and watch Jack's origin as Oddfellow narrates it, until Jack breaks the story and takes over. So what we officially know about this year's Halloween Horror Nights is that the theme is the Infernal Carnival of Nightmares. Both icons will return, Jack the Clown and Dr. Oddfellow, and the first house announcement, Jack and Oddfellow Chaos in Control, where the story centers on their rivalry before they unite, because fear divided is fear diluted. And that's where this year's event begins. Together, they create this infernal carnival of nightmares powered by fear itself, and we are part of what keeps it alive. In addition to our first major news of the event, we also have preview merchandise on sale now at shopuniversal.com. More announcements are coming, so if you're tracking Halloween Horror Nights, make sure to follow Destination Geek.
All right, man. So Jack Oddfellow back for HHN 35. How do you feel about it?
I'm ecstatic about Jack coming back. I have my hesitations about Oddfellow, but I like that it's story driven, right? So let's take a deep dive. One of my biggest takeaways from Halloween Horror Nights, and whenever anybody asks me about Halloween Horror Nights, I say you could live the horror, right? You could walk through your favorite Halloween Horror Nights house, whether it be Michael Myers, Jason, or an original, right? And you get to live it. So Jack has been the heart of Halloween Horror Nights for a really long time. And for us to actually take a deep dive into his history is going to be dope.
Yeah, I think, so the announcement, like you just saw, they mentioned not only is this... So this year is the Infernal, I'm looking up my notes, the Infernal Carnage of Nightmares, Infernal Carnival of Nightmares. It's kind of a weird tongue twisty kind of name. So what has happened is you know, there's this haunted house that's Jack and Oddfellow, Chaos and Control, is the haunted house that they announced this past weekend. And so in it, it tells the origin of Jack. So what we basically have is, this is when Jack has gone into the Jack in the Box. He's in this odd verse. And so he comes, you know, and he takes control. He comes back and, you know, they have this dueling battle. And just like any like superhero battle, these guys duel at first and then they team up to, you know, because they said, you know, fear divided is fear diluted and they want maximum fear. So now they're teamed up in this carnival of nightmares. And so that's the theme of this year's event. Like last year was the conservatory. This is the carnival of nightmares and it's controlled by Jack and Oddfellow. So instead of a Jack versus Oddfellow theme, we're going to have a Jack plus Oddfellow theme.
Yeah.
This year. The house itself is going to be this origin of Jack and that kind of thing. And I think that's awesome. I mean, I am, you know, I'm an HHN lore junkie. I appreciate that. You know, the stories have always been, you know, they've had this lore that hasn't really made a ton of sense. I think, you know, the fans have kind of connected the dots more than the actual story itself did. But so I kind of am excited about the fact that officially we're getting this continuity built in of Jack, Oddfellow, Death, Return, Oddverse, Team Up, you know, Carnival, you know, kind of really connecting the dots of everything. And I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, and I think you wanted to say Carnival of Carnage. That's why you were mixing it up, by the way. But we're also old heads, and I think whenever the icons get brought back and they're put in the spotlight, it reminds me of the great years. You know, we always, as old heads, we always say like, oh, the best years were behind us, right? But it's like, you know, potentially this year could be the revitalization of like the old Halloween Horror Nights. It's March. Is this an early announcement? I think it's earlier than last year, right?
I think it's, well, last year they didn't do much official announcing because of Epic Universe. Because Epic Universe was just in soft opening right now, right? So so they had the Epic Universe stuff going on. And so I think, yeah, our first official announcement was a little bit later in the event, or a little bit later in the year.
I think it was like,
yeah, this is a pretty early announcement. Not the earliest we've ever had, but yeah, I think it was like May or June after Epic opened is when they really started, you know, announcing stuff. But they, you know, last year I thought was a good year. I know you weren't a big fan of it. But I thought last year was a pretty strong year.
I thought last year they tried some cool things. I'm a fan of the new holding area type of approach.
Yeah.
Not all the houses impressed me, but there was some impressive houses. I think for me last year, the bigger thing wasn't that the event wasn't great. It's that they charged so much and it wasn't that much better, right? Like the cost didn't match the change, right? And you know, kind of now retroactively looking back at it, that harmed my view of the event more than the event actually got worse. You know, it didn't actually get worse. It was just, they charged me so darn much. I did my like breakdown on like how much the tickets had increased over the years and whatnot. So, I'm looking forward to this. I'm looking forward to this, but I'm looking forward to what comes along with it. How are they going to tie in all the rest of the houses too?
Yeah, I'm wondering how they're going to tie in the houses. So, you know, they've got this theme. So last year they had the conservatory theme that was really kind of present in a couple of the zones, right? You had stained glass, you had the statues, the gargoyles. You know, you had that in like three of the zones, kind of that motif, multiple of the zones and one of the houses. And now I think we're going to get it even more throughout the event. And so, you know, Mike Aiello came back to kind of be the showrunner a little bit, you know, with the whole team. But, you know, I mean, Mike Aiello, you know, everyone's a fan of that guy, and so they brought him back as a creative force. And last year, you know, we saw what he did by having a conservatory. This year, being an anniversary year, we have the icons back. We have two icons. We've got a theme. We've got a house that will feature multiple icons. And you know, this is just the first announcement. It's only March. We know more is coming. We know it's an anniversary year. Lots of stuff is rumored that we'll talk about in a future episode, as far as returning properties, returning original properties this year, that kind of thing. That could be houses or zones. But as far as what's officially announced, we have the theme, the Infernal Carnival of Nightmares, Jack the Clown and Dr. Oddfellow, and Jack and Oddfellow Chaos and Control. And, you know, and that apparently that house is a prequel to the event, which is, I feel like I'm one of the few people that loved the year 1826 with Chance. Because in that year, Chance's house, Lunatic's Playground, you won't stand a chance, there was the 3D house, was a prequel to the event. And so you had Chance in the opening where the orderlies have escaped the asylum and taken over, and you know, and that kind of thing. So I kind of dig, I like when they do that stuff. I like how they, I like when there's a story that plays out. Even the Oddfellow year, which I, you said you had an issue with Oddfellow, and I want to talk about that here in a minute. Yeah, but like the Oddfellow year, like I liked how not every zone did it perfectly, but I like how they had an Oddfellow house and they had multiple zones that told the story of Oddfellow's history. You know, to kind of tie through, here's the story of this character. And I love that stuff. I love HHN lore. I love when it's, I know what brings the people in is the intellectual properties. What makes people longtime fans who have been going for 20 plus years, like myself, the old heads, like you said, is the original stuff, is a story that we can follow and become fans of, and characters that we can embrace as our own, because they're not for everyone, right? They're the characters that were created for this event. And so I love that about them.
Yeah. And before we keep going, I'm going to ask a question that I also want the audience to let us know down in the comments, but I'm going to ask you, right? Okay. So Jack is obviously the biggest icon, right? But who's your favorite icon?
So my favorite icon is probably either the director or the usher. Okay. The director was my first, the first year I went to Halloween Horror Nights was HHN 13. That was the year of the director. So there's probably like a nostalgic component there that makes him my favorite icon. So it, like my top three would be probably director, usher, And then Jack would probably be number three, just because he has become the mascot of the event. But I honestly, I like most of the icons. I like Lady Luck. I like Bloody Mary. You know, I don't love all of them. Like a few years ago, we had Sinister and Surreal.
They were weak.
But I know they were last minute additions. But I mean, I really like, I would say, you know, director, usher, Jack. But I will say I liked Dr. Oddfellow as an icon the year that they introduced him. But how about you? Okay, so one, I want to hear from you. I want to hear from you. Who is your favorite icon? And then I want to hear what your issues with Dr. Oddfellow are.
You didn't mention my favorite icon, which I'm surprised. The Caretaker.
I don't like the Caretaker.
Oh, man.
I don't know why. I just don't care. I just, like, the Caretaker just, I don't know why. It just, the Caretaker never connected with me.
The Caretaker, to me, had the most iconic commercial. The eeny, meeny, miny. Then his scissors.
The scissors, yeah.
And I was really young at the time, so I was actually, like, doing all, like, the anticipation, looking at the website and watching the commercials. And I was actually terrified to go to the event, but excited at the same time.
Did you go that year?
Yeah.
See, that was before I started going, I think. Because I think The Caretaker was before HHN 13, right?
2000.
So the first year I went was
1999.
Okay, so the first year I went was 2003. So that makes sense why I wouldn't have seen The Caretaker. Because, yeah, I was like, The Caretaker was never the lead icon in any year that I've been.
And it was Islands of Adventure, too.
Oh, that's right, the Islands of Fear. You know what? So yeah, the year I went, HHN 13, it was also an Islands of Adventure. It was between both parks. Yeah.
Yeah,
it was both parks-ish, right? Like the sound stages, but most of the stuff was in islands.
Yeah.
So it was a long walk to those soundstage houses. But the years I remember the most fondly are the ones with an icon, as a longtime HHN fan. But yeah, I mean, so I mean, yeah, I like the Caretaker. They're just, all of them are so cool. And I like how they're all different in some way. The one year I regret missing was the Terra Queen, HHN 14.
I saw the Terra Queen.
Because I, like, for me, in my head, and I don't know if it came through in the event, but reading about it after, that felt like the most lore heavy year. Because they had a storyline that went throughout the event. They had a game that you could play throughout the event that you got a special invite to the closing night ceremony where they sacrificed the Terra Queen for, what was it, 14 years or whatever the heck it was.
Yeah.
And I was like, ah, I love that. So I love that they're doing this story now. Like, they're bringing back the story threads. And every year I wish for HHN to have a story thread that brings you back throughout the event. Like, I think HHN has long relied on just fans coming back because they love the event. And they do, right? Like, yes. They don't need to do anything else. They don't need to spend any money to do anything else. But, like, for me, as someone who has to fly in for the event, just like you,
yeah.
What would definitely bring me back to come back to the event, other than my fandom, is if I knew there was going to be a change in the story throughout the event. If I knew there was a potential to get to a closing night event that concluded the story in some actual closing ceremony kind of way. I love that stuff. And I wish they would bring that stuff back. Cause it's not, it, I say bring that stuff. It's, they've done it very few times, but when they've done it, it's always been kind of like a big deal. They've had Jack's Last Laugh at, what was it, 25. HHN 24 featured the icon showing up for the last weekend of the event, stuff like that.
There was one year where they added a scare zone in Sting Alley. That was a preview of the
that was 24. Oh. For 24, they had the preview in Sting Alley for 25 by bringing all the icons into Sting Alley.
Yeah.
Stuff like that, you know. And last year they dabbled in it a little bit because inside the El Artista house, remember they had like the Dr. Oddfellow stuff that they put in the house to hint at this year's, like, do stuff like that, but make it a little bit more obvious.
Yeah. Because,
like, some of us have to plan travel. All right, sorry. I keep getting off topic. Why don't you like Dr. Oddfellow?
Okay. I'm going to mention one more thing about the icons. So you mentioned Lady Luck. Lady Luck is probably the last notable year of the website where I remember every single day logging in to play the card game that was revealing the more that you won as a team, everybody could help reveal the next, like, house or whatever they were going to release next. But Oddfellow, so it's not like anything like too deep as far as why I don't like Oddfellow. First and foremost, I didn't think the house was good. Didn't enjoy the house very much. And then secondly, he wasn't what I envisioned when I had read any of the lore, right? When I ended up seeing him, I imagined an old, like, when I think of a carnival, and mostly like an old carnival of the past, I think of an old man, you know, like a shriveled old man who's running the carnival. This guy was more like a young demon, the way that he came off to me. And then that one stage that they had him at in front of Hollywood, I thought was very gimmicky.
Oh, right. When you first walked in and went to the right, and they had the stage where he was doing his, like, speeches and stuff.
Yeah, I thought it was very gimmicky. I don't know. I never.
And, like, that's every, like, that's why I love him. That's why I loved that. I love that he talked about Jack. Like, the event this year exists. Now, I don't know that it's always been, because that was 2023. And maybe this has been the plan for the last 3 years. I don't know. But in my mind, this year's event exists because that actor who played Dr. Oddfellow would talk about Jack, and it created this headcanon in the fans' heads that there was a rivalry, and that at the next anniversary year, and that there we'd see a Jack versus Oddfellow. And everyone's like, it'll be next year, but it wasn't next year. And now we're getting it. And I'm wondering, obviously, you know, I don't know, but, like, I don't know if that was always the plan or if this event is happening literally because fans willed it into existence via that interaction at that stage that you're talking about. I don't know.
Maybe. And I think that event year definitely made it so that this year is possible. But I think this year would have been a Jack year regardless. And maybe I'm wrong, and hopefully I am. I really hope that I am. Maybe Oddfellow adds to the Jack presence. Maybe he makes Jack that much bigger for 35. We'll see. But yeah, but it was simple. I didn't enjoy the house, and he didn't. I never dove into the lore super deep, but what I read, that was an odd fellow to me.
You didn't like startling acts of distortion?
No.
Startling acts of distortion. I actually liked the house. I want that house. And again, it's one of those things that when a house appeals to what I like about the event, regardless of the quality of the house, I'm still going to latch on to it. And so what I mean by that is that house tied into the lore and the origin, and you had the wanted posters with Jack and Chance and stuff like that, that let you know and like little things like that, and I just connected to it. And I'm looking, right, my eyes are right above my computer. I've got a poster for Halloween Horror Nights, funny enough, 25. So this is they had the house poster. And if you're watching this, which you are, if you've gotten this far, it's on the screen right now, but it's a poster done like a pinball machine, and it shows all the houses from that year. So that was 25 years Monsters of Monsters and Mayhem, Scary Tales, Dollhouse of the Damned, Body Collectors, HR Blood and Guts, which is rumored to come back this year. That was the first year of Slaughter Cinema. Like, that was a really, really strong year. And this is 35. Like, I know every year divisible by five is considered an anniversary year nowadays. But I'm like, 35 isn't really isn't really a big deal, but they're making a big deal of it, and for that I'm excited.
Yeah, and what I can say though, as far as like what I've seen, I like the artwork. I like the
Oh, I
logo.
love the artwork.
I like
Dude, I bought
the sh
everything.
you bought the shirt?
I bought the jersey. I bought the t-shirt. I bought the hoodie. I bought the blanket. I
You're a
got everything that
savage.
I could get online. I got everything that I could get online. And then I was pissed because the poster was only they had a signed poster only available in park, limited edition of 500. Apparently it sold out as of the
Oh,
time of this recording. And I'm like,
yeah.
ah, that would have been perfect. Because like I said, I've got this wall of Halloween Horror Nights right above my computer where I work. And so it's got a Jack with it's got a I've got a Jack thing from I think HHN 30. I've got some wooden pieces of art from Halloween Horror Nights. I've got the poster from 25. I've got a poster of the Paracuentes map.
Nice.
So like I've got this little wall of Halloween Horror Nights, and I really do like the art this year. I like, the half like Jack, half Oddfellow. Motif of this initial artwork. So I'm excited. But I'm a loser when it comes to that stuff. I'm a sucker. I just like literally like just add everything to cart.
And I think just having this conversation, a little bit of the difference between the things that I guess make me not like something and what makes you like something, you're more about the details, the small details. I'm more like big picture in your face. If it doesn't show up the way that I want it, then it may not be my thing. You give it an opportunity to actually like wow you by paying more attention.
I do, but that's the thing. Like, yeah, it's just what, there's so many different fandoms. We mentioned this earlier. There's so many different fandoms of HHM. There are just people who go because they're going to see Stranger Things or whatever big properties are featured that year, Art the Clown, those types of things. And then there are these longtime fans like myself, like Kyle, like yourself, like that. Know and love these original properties, and when HHN, when the crew behind the event finds ways to give that stuff to us, whether it's a return of the Body Collectors, a new HR Blood and Guts, a call back to Cary, Ohio, things like that, we just gravitate towards it. But for me, as much as I love that stuff, I am an Easter egg whore. So like when you give me something that feels like a plot thread or a mystery or something that's like, oh, a continuity, I am all, I mean, I've been reading comics for 40 years of my life. You know, like I'm all about continuity. So like when you give me that continuity, a continuing storyline, a callback to something that came before, something that feels like it's a return on, like it's rewarding my long-term fandom.
Yeah.
I'm all about it. And I'm hoping that this year we'll see, you know, just like HHN 30, I'm hoping we see other icons return somewhere in the event, whether it's within the confines of the house or other callbacks or a scare zone. Like, you know, HHN 30, I think, had the scare zone where they were all on the stages doing, they had the HHN Icons Captured House.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
That house was amazing.
Which I'll tell you, this year, I'm doing the sixth house behind the Screams tour because I need to make sure that I see the behind the scenes of this Jack and Oddfellow house.
Like, have you not done it? You've done it before, right?
It has been years since I've done the sixth house because I'm old, Eddie. And so, you know, doing three.
It's a lot of time.
Because now with the premium Scream night, now it's four nights of Halloween Horror Nights. Adding a six house tour in there is a lot. Yeah.
I think last year was the first year I didn't do the six house tour in like the past like 5 years. I didn't do any of the tours. I only did the, what's it called? Premium Screams.
I did the three house tour because like the last 2 years I've done the three house tour but I've done them early. I've done them before the event starts. I don't know, you know, without knowing what's going to be in the three house tour, like you don't really know until you make the purchase.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I'm probably just going to go for the six house tour because I want to guarantee that I'm getting behind the scenes of this house that I want to see.
Yeah. Usually when I buy it, you don't get the notice of your house lineup up till
not until later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're talking about what's been announced, right? You're excited. I'm excited. You're a little bit more excited.
I am very excited. I will tell you, I'm very excited.
Yeah. So I guess the next thing that we could talk about is what do we think is coming? I think there's a lot of information out there about the houses that potentially could be coming. I think there's been a lot of conversation about a Stranger Things house. I'm not sure if that's actually in the lineup. I haven't checked out the speculation map. What have you been hearing?
You know, obviously, so I did a video about this on the channel about some of the rumored properties. I think some of them have changed, but I have heard Stranger Things. I shouldn't say heard. Like, no one's told me anything. I just want to put that out there. Like, I don't have an inside source. I have the same speculation maps and all that stuff that everyone else has. The ones that I've seen consistently are Stranger Things and Sinners, as far as intellectual properties, but the rest of them seem to change out few times. Like, you know, when this all first started, you know, people were talking about Scream and Hellraiser and things like that. But on latest Lady Gaga, on latest speculation maps, they're not showing those. They're showing Ozzy Osbourne, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, Evil Dead Burn. So I don't know. I don't know, you know, like, frankly, if I'm being honest, I was more excited about the potential of Hellraiser and than Texas Chainsaw Massacre. So I don't know. Evil Dead Burn could go either way. I mean, that's a new movie that comes out this year. I've been I'm a fan of the Evil Dead franchise. But Ozzy Osbourne would be interesting.
Mostly with the timing, you know, with him passing.
Yeah, him passing away. Yeah. But Eddie, I think we should save the speculation for us for another episode. Because I think that,
getting ahead of myself. My apologies.
No, I like it. I like it. I like it. But I think this is for you guys, for you folks listening, if you want us to talk speculation maps, comment. Let us know what you want us to talk about. Let us know that you want us to talk about speculation masks, because I think we should do that for a future episode. I would like to talk about them. I mean, obviously, we have nothing but speculation probably for, you know, but we'll probably get some intellectual properties announced starting next month or, you know, April, May. So we'll see what comes up.
I'm excited enough for this year, and I'm just holding tight to see what the rest of the lineup ends up being. 35 has me like tied up. Like, since it's an anniversary year, I'm coming no matter what. I may not have came this year if it wasn't for the fact that it was 35.
I will tell you, I have been telling myself every year for the last 5 years that I'm going to take a break after coming. I've told this story on this podcast before, but like in 2020, before the public health emergency in 2020, I was like, I'm going to go this year because it's the 30th anniversary, and then I'm going to take a break. And then COVID happened. Yeah. And we didn't have an HHN that year. And so that was basically my break. And now I've been going, and now I'm back. You know, like I've been going every year.
We're back, baby.
So I'm definitely we're back, baby. Just like this podcast. So yeah, I'm going this year. I will be there for HHN 35. It's an anniversary year. I'm very excited about this first announcement. I'm very excited about some of the speculation stuff that we'll talk about in a future episode. I'm actually more excited about that stuff than the intellectual properties that I'm seeing speculated about. But regardless, I'm looking forward to it, and I definitely want to see what they've got in store. Especially, you know, you start off with a bang. They start off with a bang with this Jack and Odd Fellow thing. You know, the one thing that I'll say before we wrap up this Jack and Odd Fellow thing is, I've been saying this for a few years now, but they had this announcement at MegaCon Orlando, mm-hmm. right? And apparently, you know, I saw online that like 2,500 people attended this panel because it was in, you know, a large room. So it was, you know, 2,500 people attended MegaCon Orlando. And in my mind, I feel like, controversial, maybe, I feel like Universal Orlando Resort or Universal Destinations and Experiences is missing out on a cash cow by not having a dedicated ticketed event for HHN announcements. I've said for a while now, especially this time of year, halfway to Halloween, give or take, or halfway to Halloween Horror Nights, halfway in between or whatever, you could have a special event at the conference center in Sapphire Falls, at the Blue Man Group Theater that's not in use. You know, something like that. You don't need a ticket to the park, it's a special ticketed event where fans can go. They can meet some of the actors. They can see props of prior events. They can get the first major announcements or the announcements of all the original property houses or something like that.
UniversalCon would be sick.
And special edition exclusive merchandise. I would straight up fly in for that and buy tickets for that. Like a panel at MegaCon, as much as I would have loved to have been there, like if I was in town, I would go to it, but I'm not going to fly to town for it because like I can see it online, right? Like I saw it online, people were live streaming it, that kind of thing. But like an event, a ticketed event, Knott's Berry Farm does this with Knott's Scary Farm. They have a preview event where they announce their houses and stuff like that. That's a special ticketed event. I feel like Universal could absolutely do that. Now I understand a lot of coordination, a lot of planning, that kind of thing. I feel like they could make a decent amount of money doing it.
Listen, now that you say that, the wheels are turning because they are coming for Disney's neck, and Disney has D23. So this could be their D23.
Disney has multiple D23s, right? They've got D23 Expo, and they've got the mini D23. I forget the name of it. Like, straight up, HHN Con or Universal Con, whatever.
It could be like a Universal Con and tackle like the year of what's coming. Yeah. You know, it could be like Christmas. They could have their section for Halloween Horror Nights, their section for Christmas, their section for what's coming to Epic New Land or something.
I mean, and then this, you've got the Universal Kids World or whatever it's called, Universal Kids Resort. You've got what's coming in the UK. You've got these Horror Unleashed prop things that may hopefully, you know, will continue to grow. So like you definitely have the opportunity to do something like this as a ticketed event. But the big one is going to be Halloween Horror Nights. So just make sure that you've got special Halloween Horror Nights announcement. It would be It would be huge. I think it would be huge. And I have one more suggestion. One more suggestion. Mardi Gras.
Hire me.
Yeah. Besides that, yeah. If you need an idea guide that you know, because you're not getting them 1,000 times a day on Twitter, Mardi Gras. Missed opportunity at Mardi Gras to not have a best of last year's HHN food booth. As part of their international flavors, you could have a food booth that has fan voted the top 5 dishes from last year's Halloween Horror Nights and serve them again as a Halloween Horror Nights food. And that's another way to bring that fandom in for that event. You have the top dishes from last year's, like the fried carrot cake thing, or the sloppy Joe thing, or you know, some of the best dishes. I don't know, the spaghetti pizza or whatever. That wasn't great, but you know my point. Like, bring in the top 5 dishes, have fans vote on them, bring them in for a food booth, an HHN food booth. Bam, that thing would make money.
Feed the HHN fans and throughout the year, both literally and figuratively, with different things. That would be sick. That's the next step. That could be how Halloween Horror Nights develops with like Universal's expansions and aggressive takeover.
I mean, hey, like you said, they're aggressively growing. You know, and so you know, hopefully they're eyeing some of this stuff already. You know, I've heard rumors of cruise lines and things like that. So we'll see where they grow over the next few years. There's a lot of growth, but you know, we'll talk about it here on News from the Queue, if that's our actual name.
I like it. I like it. News from the Queue. Leave it in the comments if you enjoy the News from the Queue.
Yeah, News from the Queue. We talked about Geektainment. It's already taken. So don't
suggest it. Is it really?
It's taken. Like someone already has. Like there's like Geektainment is already taken online. Like not by a podcast, but like by something else. So awesome. Yeah. I know. I mean, not that I've only been Destination Geek for like 6 months, not even like 4 months, so I can't be that mad. But anyway, this was fun, man. I you know, hopefully you all enjoyed it. If you did, we definitely need your feedback. We need your comments down below. We need your thumbs up, and you need to subscribe to our channels. So I'm Destination Geek on YouTube. You can also find me at Destination Geek, destination-geek.com, and Destination Geek HQ on TikTok and Instagram. And Eddie, where can they find you?
Eddietainment on YouTube, and then Eddietainment 1 on all other platforms. So Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, everything else. We're both aggressively growing all of our other platforms too. Of course, YouTube is our main and our love child, but Paul, you've been doing some great stuff on TikTok. I've been trying to grow on TikTok as well, but I got a Facebook community. I got Instagram, which I love to post pictures of my outings at the park. So yeah, definitely make sure to check us out on there.
All right, everyone. Well, thanks for watching. We will see you next time.